Next up, we got a performance thing coming up because performance has been a massive topic in the web world for a long, long time. What we concentrated a lot on was how to actually make performance happen in our websites and our products and our apps and what tools we use in the developer tools to do that. But we haven't much concentrated on what performance tools you have in the operating system themselves to write things like Edge and what kind of performance toolkit you have to have insights in how your applications behave. That could be packaged applications, could be a browser, could be anything like that. And that's why we got Todd here to talk about performance. And this is about performance of software, not like people that talk about like CrossFit and things like that all the time. So without further ado, go ahead.
Thanks. So my name's Todd Reifstek. I'm a perf PM on the Microsoft Edge team. And we're going to talk down top-down analysis with the Windows Performance Toolkit. So in any performance talk, we always have to start with, does performance matter? Everybody's trying to build features, and features sell products. It turns out performance sells products too. So Sosta recently posted 27% increase in performance rate from 1 second faster pages. Amazon years ago, showed that by decreasing the speed of Amazon pages by 100 milliseconds, each 100 milliseconds had a demonstrable decrease in revenue of each page. And Bing has shared that 2 second delays led to 1.8% drop off in queries. Queries are dollars. And so keeping perf really good for Bing has been important to their revenue as well. So anytime somebody tells you, we don't have time for performance, go search the internet. There's a million of these out there. So typically the first place people start when they want to work on performance is in F12 and the other dev tools that are built into the browsers. And those tools are pretty good. So you can look into your network speeds, you can drill down into performance timelines, and you can do JavaScript profiling. And if you look in there, you can see DOM calls showing up in our JavaScript profiling in F12 with the current preview release. The trick is that those tools only go so far. So we've got a tool called the Windows Performance Toolkit. It's a free tool with the Windows ADK and Windows SDKs. It's free. It uses ETW, which is event tracing for Windows. It's very, very low overhead. Windows has the capability to do, I don't know, hundreds, thousands of these things a second, and you won't observe any impact on the running application. The Windows 10 team uses ETW stack traces and the Windows Performance Toolkit every day to optimize Windows 10. And it's capable of doing more than the F12 tools pretty much could ever be capable of doing. It also allows full system performance. So you can see what's going on outside of the browser across the machine. And you can go deep. So you can look inside the actual code of the browser and see how the JavaScript and the code of the browser are playing together. So to get started, you have to install the Windows Performance Toolkit. To do that, you need to be on the Windows OS. And I've included a little link. I'm not going to do that now. And instead, I'm going to jump right in to actually a demo of the Windows Performance Toolkit. So what I've created here is I've made a little web page. And this little web page that I've created is an example of a very badly written web page. And so it's just a little blog, and it's still loading, and it's still loading. And if we come down here, we can see that it took 2.8 seconds to run the script. And that's pretty horrific for a page that's really just kind of a blog. And that's on my Surface Book, which tends to eat slow sites for breakfast. I actually have a separate machine back in the office because often this makes sites fast that people complain about. So I'm going to refresh just to see 2.8 seconds. Is that the real time? Yep, 2.5 seconds. OK. So the next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to take a trace using the Windows Performance Toolkit. So I've got a little icon down here for the Windows Performance Recorder. It's going to ask me for admin access, and I'm going to say yes. The reason the Windows Performance Recorder needs admin access is it traces everything going on in the machine. And to be able to do that, you have to grant it admin access. I've then got the Edge browser tagged. You could also check the HTML responsiveness analysis, and that will give you GPU and some other frame information. For this demo, I'm just going to leave Edge browser. I'm then going to click Start. It takes a moment, and then I'm going to refresh the page so that I run my performance scenario. And then as soon as that refreshes, I'm going to click Save. I then quickly click Save. The reason I do that is the trace is still going while if I were to type into this text box, and I don't really need more trace. I can change the name of the file if I need to remember what I was doing. I then click this little open folder here, and the reason I click this little open folder is if you have multiple versions of the Windows Performance Toolkit, it's possible that if you clicked open file, it might not open the one you wanted. And then I'm going to open a new instance of the Windows Performance Analyzer to load this. So I start that from my little icon down here. I then will open this trace. And this takes just a moment, but I want to show you there's just a couple of steps you have to do to be able to see a trace in the Windows Performance Analyzer. So I've opened the ETL file that we just recorded. And now what I'm going to do is I'm going to click Trace and Load Symbols. When I click Load Symbols, what it's doing is it's actually going to go to the internet. It's going to find the symbols for this trace, for that version of Windows, for that version of Microsoft Edge, and it's going to download them. Now, I have all those symbols on this machine, so it loaded it really quickly. The first time you do it from home, if you're over the internet, it might actually take a few hours to download. The next thing I do is I'm going to apply a profile. What a profile is it's a list of all of the graphs and all of the various charts that we're going to use to analyze the trace that I just took. So I click a Profiles Apply, I browse the catalog, and then I choose the HTML Responsiveness Analysis profile. And then I click Open. So I've done that sort of ahead of time, but I want to kind of walk through what is a sampling profiler while I let that load and get all the graphs loaded. So if I can flip back to the slides. So while I was taking that trace, what Windows was doing is it basically was shining a light on the code that my app was running. And so it pointed its camera at the code, and then it just takes a snapshot, a snapshot, a snapshot, a snapshot. So if I were running this code that you can see here, the first snapshot would be run down inside of do something that takes 5 milliseconds. And then if it was sampling at a rate of once every millisecond, the second snapshot would happen on the second millisecond, and then the third millisecond, the fourth millisecond, the fifth millisecond, and then do something that takes 5 milliseconds would exit. And it would go all the way back up to onload, call down into method B, call down to do something that takes 1 millisecond, and it would do all that almost instantaneously and likely get a sample of do something that takes 1 millisecond next. So the sampling profiler then puts that information into that ETL file. The most simple type of performance analysis that we do on a sampled profile is top-down analysis. Typically, when you perform top-down performance analysis, what you're going to do is start at the top of your tree. You're then going to review each and every expensive node starting at the top, and then you're going to review your code, review the costs, and see, is there a way to make this highest level node faster? Often you'll find that there's a way to make fewer calls or to rewrite some code to make it faster. In a complicated website, you may have to apply this top-down technique to each small piece of your web page. So if we go back to the original code I had, I look at this tree and I can see that onLoad calls into method A, which takes 5 milliseconds, 5 samples. And my first question would be, do I need method A? What if I can delete it and I get the same functionality? What if do something that takes 5 milliseconds, it turns out, is doing the same something that do something that takes 1 millisecond does? Maybe I can replace it. So we're now going to apply this to my sample, which is a little more real world. It has a little more code. So I have here, I have WPA. So what's just appeared here is a bunch of graphs. I'm going to take this graph explorer on the left, and I'm going to close it. There are a lot of different charts over in this area, from video to networking to memory. But we've already got the HTML responsiveness profile loaded, so I'm just going to minimize or close that. I'm going to close this little getting started just to make things clean. So this trace markers tab is a place where you would go if you're going to look into networking. You could also look into your MS rate profiler marks. Hopefully sometime soon in the future, you'll be able to look at the performance.marks here as well. And you can see that there was a performance.mark between these two points. This tab, thread delay analysis, is where you would go. We go here for the browser if we're finding threads that are blocking other threads. The big picture allows you to look into sort of kind of a high-level view. I have no data here because I didn't collect any of the graphical data, but you would be able to see the GPU view, the GPU's actual utilization, which would, of course, be very different if you had an NVIDIA card versus an integrated card. And you can see disk usage down here at the bottom. So you can see, hey, look, my disk was doing a little something. You'll find often if the disk is thrashing, that will impact the browser performance. And most of the time, when I'm looking into performance of slow site, I spend my time in the frame analysis page in these two tabs. So we've got the CPU usage attributed, where we color code the various subsystems of the browser. And right below it, we have the CPU usage sampled. And so what I'm going to do is if we just click here in the CPU usage attributed section, I can highlight this area. So we can see that it's color coded, and this greenish color says it was mostly working on layout. So if I right-click on it, I can then zoom in. And when I zoom in, you could see these numbers down here sort of flashed away. It actually causes all the rest of the tabs on this, or all the rest of the tables on the same tab, to zoom into that same region. And so we can see Microsoft Edge is here. I'm then going to go ahead and sort by weight. And by sorting by weight down, we can see that Edge during this region was the most expensive process. The idle process and the system are still visible here. I can then right-click and filter to Edge. Now, we're next going to start to do the top-down analysis on Edge. So I'm going to maximize this so we can focus on it. And I'm then going to, we can see we've got thread activities and thread ID. If I expand this, we can see different thread names. And what you'll see is that there's the UI thread, and then you can also see the background threads, the render thread, and the decode thread. So you can actually look inside the other threads. We only care right now about the UI thread, so I'm going to filter down to that. Okay. And now I'm going to just quickly set this up by expanding my stack over and then getting rid of thread ID and thread activity. And now let's go ahead and drill down and see what's going on. So this is going to be native code of the browser, so it's not going to look exceptionally familiar to most folks who are used to working on the web. Everything up here, that's Edge content, that's part of the Edge browser. The global win proc, which is actually the first time that Edge HTML, the engine, enters. Global win proc is the current name of our global UI thread manager. Postman on timer is our timer code. HTM broadcast, we're still right here over on the right side. The wait was 3,555, that's 3.5 seconds. We're now still at 3.5 seconds. We're still top down. And what I'm looking for is the first bit of JavaScript. Aha. So there's the first bit of JavaScript. And what I can see here is at 3.5 seconds, we're in top down blog global code. So line 291. So I can jump over here. I've got Visual Studio Code. And I can just go to line 291. And what I can see is it's the inline script of my page. OK, that's interesting. I'm going to come back over. Let's go down to the next line. So I can see the next line is line 381, something about initializing hashtags. All right, so we're inside our initialize hashtags function. And then if I look down, the next call is set width of cells. And so I'm gonna guess that set width of cells, let's see, what line was that? 315. So it's a re-implementing CSS Flexbox. Okay, well that's actually intentional for the demo. Clearly the right thing to do would be to replace this with CSS Flexbox, but we're not gonna do that. Instead, I'm actually curious about this inline hashtags, because I said in top down, we're gonna start at the top, and then we're gonna review code as we keep going down. And so initialize hashtags, create the hashtags for blog articles and format them to fill the sidebar. Add all the hashtags to the document, and then I come down, and it says, after all the tags are added, set the width for all of them. Well, that seems a little strange. So I've effectively, after all the tags are added, and yet I've got a for loop for adding all the hashtags. I wonder what's gonna happen if I take the after all the hashtags are added, and I move it to be after all the hashtags are added. All right. So I've moved it. I'm now going to refresh back here. Let's see what happens. Whoa. So 20 times faster. Effectively, by top-down analyzing the page, I've managed to make my page 20 times faster. So it turns out often performance is no more difficult than that. And you can make your own pages that much faster with just a little bit of work and effort, at least the first round. Once you've actually done that first round, then you've got a reason to look one level deeper. That would be when I'd go look at CSS Flexbox code in there and figure out if I could get rewrite it. So let's flip back to the slides real quick, because that was a quick example of what Windows Performance Toolkit can do. But top-down analysis is sort of the most basic thing it does. Another thing it can do is it can do view all callees. And so what you can see here in this slide is I've found external function thunk, which is the layer between Chakra and the browser. And I've actually sorted all the DOM APIs that this page, or that a particular web page is calling by most expensive. I can then flip back and show the callers, which would be super powerful for this scenario. You can look at what the background threads are doing and actually go look and see what the browser's doing at this time. Sometimes you'll find that you're super GC heavy. If you're thrashing the garbage collector, it might be that you want to allocate less objects. That's not usually obvious from the UI thread profile. You can actually look at your frames per second in Windows Performance Toolkit. That's really valuable if you have animations, especially if you do your profiling on a slower machine with integrated graphics. And the same thing's true, you can see GPU by process as well in that same way. There's also the network tab that's in there. So the Windows Performance Toolkit can do quite a few things, and we're actually going to be demoing it with some more videos and some more blog entries over the upcoming months to help help folks to profile the trickier things from the web that the current F12 tools cannot easily do. So the call to action from this is download the Windows Performance Toolkit if you've got Windows. If you don't have Windows, get a Windows VM, download the Windows Performance Toolkit, and try it out with Microsoft Edge. And follow our blog, because we're going to have some announcements coming of other things you can do with Windows Performance Toolkit for things that are not currently achievable with F12 today. Thank you very much.